I am going to incept an ELW podcast on a different level today. And I'm going to do something I never thought I would do, which is actually interview a normalist person. It doesn't really matter to me whether that person is interested or not. It does matter to me that this is life and I capture it as much as I can in this moment. So when he comes back, I'm going to interview him and I am going to put it on my site. First, I'm going to ask for his permission and I hope he says yes. And it's not going to be a video interview, so it should be easier. But I'm doing this. This is an ELW podcast and I'm wearing mask for this, so I don't know how this is going to sound. But I do believe I have to do this and I really want to do it. And with me is it's Steve. I don't want to make I want him to describe himself in words, in his own words rather. That's why I met him a while back, but just a preview, he's an homeless guy and he's been on the street for 20 years. And he was just sitting beside me being so nice tonight and I thought this is life and we should all know about this life. This very, very life. Can you state your name for us, please?
Yeah, my name is Steve Morin, M-O-R-I-N.
Steve, how long have you been out here in Portsmouth, New Hampshire?
I've been on the streets for 20 years. I've been going to Seacoast Mental Health. They've been trying to help me. I'm on the waiting list for housing and whatnot, but unfortunately, I'm still outside, homeless, freezing. I have COPD. I have one lung. I'm 54 years old. It's freezing out here. I don't understand why this state cannot even help me at all. All they care about in this town is building garages and condos instead of helping out people. And I'm not talking just about myself. I'm talking about other people too, which are being neglected in this town.
If you have one word to describe your life out here for 20 years, one word. Because I know there are many words that could describe it. But right now, I just need a simple word that can capture this for the moment.
Gracious.
Gracious.
Because I'm blessed. I'm blessed for waking up every morning. Okay. Because God's got to have a plan for me sometime. Okay. I mean, right now, my plan is, yeah, sleeping outside. But eventually, there's going to be something different. Something's going to happen eventually.
Some people will, you know, normally say that.
Or I just might not wake up one morning. I don't know. Maybe that's God's plan. I don't know.
Can I ask you a deeper question?
Sure.
Okay. Do you ever wish you don't actually wake up the next morning?
You
sometimes wish that you sleep one night and just don't wake up.
I have a history of suicidal. I have depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts.
Do you mind if I ask you if you've ever attempted it?
Yes, I have.
How many times?
3 times.
Why do you think you never succeeded?
Because they rescued me in time.
Do you want to?
When I sliced my wrist, they got me before the main artery. And then when I what stopped myself... And then when I jumped in front of a car, yeah.
Hmm.
And then I took all my medications, yeah. I know what to do and how to do it. But it's just they're always one step ahead of me, somehow, some way. He's watching over me. I don't know.
What is the worst experience you've had in 20 years?
Being falsely accused. My ex-girlfriend falsely accused me. She made some accusations about me.
What's the...
I went to jail. Actually, I went to prison. Spent 181 days in there. But I get out and the charges were all dropped and released.
You know, I have also wondered about prison. Is it better than being out here?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. Okay, for the simple reason, I have a lot of dietary restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lactose. I have an acid reflux ulcer. I'm on 18 different medications.
And you don't have access to this in prison?
That you're gonna get it on a special meal list and whatnot. And it, believe me, they put you on that back burner.
See? I'm asking you, I want you to please tell me if it's better to be out here in the cold.
No, it's not better to be out here in the cold, but it's not better to be in prison either, because by the time your knee gets met, you could be dead.
So you're saying prison while you have shelter? In prison, because usually you have shelter.
Yeah, but when you're going through withdrawals, or they're not feeding you food you're supposed to eat,
okay,
and not on your medication, that can kill a person.
Faster.
And that's the last thing they're worried about. They're not worried about me. That's the last thing in their worries. Getting that 9-to-5 paycheck. See ya. Oh, it's not my problem. This guy's, you know, getting sick and this and that.
Did you?
I just spent 2 days in jail. You know what I ate? Nothing. Not a single thing. You know why? Because they kept giving me they kept giving me milk, mac and cheese, and other stuff that I could not eat. For 2 days. 2 days with no food in jail in Rockingham County. I had nothing at all to eat.
Skip, being a vet.
And they know my history. They know I'm lactose. They know I have an acid reflux ulcer, so I can't have tomatoes to make sauce. So, I mean, it's limited to what I can eat.
Are you saying that people care less while you're in prison than they care, than anybody cared out here?
They do not care about a homeless person. Let's just put it that way. Okay, because they're a homeless person? No. Who cares about them? What is he doing for the community? You know what I do for this community? I pick up cans and bottles and I recycle everything and I clean up the environment. I better the environment for the kids in the future. And you know what I get? Nothing in return. Nothing but harassment from the police, getting arrested, having nowhere to sleep. And I'm one of the nicest person in the world. I know it stinks. But yet, there's no help for me. Well, at least, that's what they're saying. I don't know. When I got four different doctors.
What is the best thing that being a vet helps you achieve?
Being a vet?
Being a vet.
Knowing I serve my country.
That, you know, you'll have benefits.
I fought for my country. You know what? What is my country doing for me now? Nothing. They leave me outside there to freeze and die with all my medical problems, my medical history, my PTSD.
It's like you're waiting for death.
They want me to die. They want me out of here. I served my country, I did my time. Time for you to fly a dime. See ya. I don't know. I really don't know. But I meet with all these doctors, I make all these appointments, and I take all these medications, and this and that, and that and this, and I'm out here, outside. I mean... I don't know. I don't think it's right. I think this town, instead of trying to make all this money and whatnot with the condos and the parking garages, they really need to help some of the other people out. And I'm not talking just about me either. I'm talking about everybody. The elderly people that have nowhere to really go or anything like that and whatnot. Help them out and then start helping out people like me. But take care of the elderly people first. Alright, because I made it this far. And I can make it a little longer. Hopefully. I don't know. Maybe. I might just wake up tomorrow morning dead. I don't know.
You mean you do wish that death would be easy if it comes?
I really do. I really wish I was dead.
Okay.
Because
that's the state of mind that I'm trying to understand.
Because it would better my life. My family wouldn't have to worry about my safety. I haven't seen my family in 15 years. I have no idea where we're going. 15 years I haven't seen my family. Not a single one of them. Well, I see my brother. One brother. My sisters. My other brothers. Nobody. 15 years. And I ain't seen them. Huh. That's pretty messed up, huh? A little bit. Oh, well.
Steve, what's the best thing to a day right now?
The best thing to a day?
Yes.
Waking up in the morning.
And that is quite a contradiction to what you said earlier. Right? That you wish you were dead.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, the best thing to it is waking up in the morning.
Yes.
A contradiction. Mainly a walking contradiction.
But it's surviving through the night.
So
being out here in this freezing cold. Are you kidding me?
Okay. Steve, here I will introduce that I have gone through this too. This is why I'm here. Why, you know, you think you really feel comfortable with me is because I've been through this too. So, I want to go a little bit deeper, because I know that there is a high and a low that could be some sort of a mental addiction. Aside from all the other addiction you could possibly have, you know, the notion that you went through all this shit. And please let me say that word. Steve, can I say that word?
I'm listening.
You know, is it okay for me to say that word?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you've gone through all this shit. You've gone through all this shit, and you survived. So, survival itself becomes kind of like a high. I mean, that is a deep sensation. There is a deep sensation, because I know that I felt this too, in that you could have just, I mean, there are times that I thought my heart would just stop, that I would stop breathing. It's too cold out here, I'm not going to be able to breathe. But then I breathe the next hour, and there is a high that comes with that. You want to tell me a little bit about that? About, you know, thinking, you know, I'm just going to die tonight, I'm going to die, I just want to die tonight. And then the next morning you wake up and it's the best thing that could ever happen.
I don't even want to go there in my mind.
you mean that it's too deep?
Really?
It's too deep. I mean, with 20 years of experience, I just want you to have... I want you,
you, don't,
to
you don't want to get inside my head. I'm telling you, dear. No.
Let me get to the peripheral. Let me get to the peripheral. There is some sort of mental high in you could have died, but then for some reason you survived.
Listen, God's keeping me alive for a reason. Alright? Because I'm out here every night. In this freezing cold, with
and you survive, and you survive,
and I'm surviving. So
there is a thing about that. There is a an outlook.
I mean, yeah, of course, yeah. They cut off my food stamps. They took away my unemployment check. This. So
and you survive,
huh?
And you survive.
Yeah, of course I'm gonna survive. Well, I've been doing it for 20 years. Got my little hustles. I know what to do. But it kind of stinks because, you know, the soup kitchens. And it's like, well, oh yeah, have this food. Oh, it's got cheese and it's got tomatoes on it. And I can't have it. Even though it's awesome food, I just can't have it because I'm lactose and then I'm going to have to reflux out, so I can't have tomatoes. So I can't have cheese. I can't have milk. I can't have any chocolate. Oh, man. I'm dead in the water. I'm pretty much a hard-boiled egg, chicken, fish.
Steve, is this a lifestyle?
This is my life, dear.
Oh.
This is my life. This is what I have to eat. Because that's something I can eat. Okay? Because my food allergic reactions.
Steve,
I
darling,
told you that.
Darling, if we can just differentiate a little bit between life and lifestyle. Because I asked you if this was your lifestyle. And then you said emotionally that this
my
was your
lifestyle.
Life. Lifestyle seems to you to be something that you choose to do, and life is something that you just don't have a choice, you have to be, right?
My lifestyle is trying to survive.
And your life?
Okay, because no matter where I go, the police are going to come, and they're going to give me a restraining order. Tell me I can't be here no more. After tonight, I'll be here. Boom. You can't be here. Downtown over here, boom, can't be down there. Boom, over there, I can't be down there. They keep giving me restraining orders. Why can't I'm not bothering anybody. What am I doing wrong? You keep giving me restraining orders. You might as well just lock me up. Because I got nowhere else to go. Y'all know I'm homeless. But you won't leave me the heck alone. I was gonna say something else, but trying to bite my tongue a little bit. No, I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get really better with my swearing, no gear.
Oh,
no.
Please.
I know. You just said something a minute ago and it's like, yeah, I know. No, I can't. I've got to try to get better. Can't keep swearing. Because at the end of the night, you're almost killing myself. So I'm trying to get better. I'm working. Peace. Somewhere. Somehow. Somewhere. Something.
Huh. Waiting. Okay. So I'm just gonna kind of make a few comments and then you can say something. Waiting for redemption. Waiting for death. Waiting for life. Are you waiting for love at all?
No.
If
you know why?
I want to know why.
Because the last time I opened up to a girl was after 8 years. After 8 years, let me finish here.
I'm sorry.
Let me finish. No, you asked the question. You opened up a can of worms, girl. You opened them up. No. You opened a can of worms.
Go on.
After 8 years, I opened up and I got into a serious relationship. I stayed sober for 15 months with this girl. And every day she'd have me go to the supermarket and get her a couple Jamaican Me Happies.
What's that?
It's an alcoholic beverage.
Well, you were supposed to be sober.
I was sober. I was sober. And I'm like, do you understand what you're doing to me? I'm an alcoholic. And you're sending me down the pier aisle to get you a Jamaican Me Happy? With it, my beer right there, and I ain't drinking over 12 months now.
Can I ask you another one?
Go ahead.
With this, if you were waiting for love at all, would that love ever come from you?
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry. I got distracted with you.
I know. That asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can say that.
I was thinking Fast and Furious.
We can say that.
I was like, Fast and Furious. And these guys like, yeah, show off. Yeah, I'd be showing off too, but
Steve?
It's costing $20 in gas.
Steve?
Yes.
If you're lucky to find love at all, would that love be from you? Would it be yours? Would it come from you? After 20 years of being out here, if you find love, do you think that love will come from you?
It would take a lot. Okay, because I'm not just one just to, you know. Man, don't take this the wrong way. It's not like a wham bam, thank you ma'am. I would have to get to know somebody intimately and open up to them slowly and then progress into that. You know what I'm saying?
Steve, I want to know if, even if you don't find this love out there with some other woman, would it be okay just to love you?
Yes. don't know. I'm not happy with my life. Okay. My life is miserable. I don't like living this way. So how can I be happy or get on with my life when my life is miserable? Do you understand where I'm coming from?
I do.
I'm in alongside this cold every friggin' night. Not knowing when I'm gonna get my next shower. Not knowing when I'm gonna get my next meal. I just... I'm too old and I don't feel I deserve this. I feel this is New Hampshire. It's live free or die. Okay, well good then. Help me out. Cause you know what's gonna happen? I'm gonna die. And it's gonna be your fault. Cause I've contacted the mayor. I've contacted the city welfare. I've contacted housing. I've done everything I can do. But they don't care. God. You know what they care about this town? Money. Money.
I'm gonna ask you one very, very last important question. If I come back around here someday,
can I
see you here?
Yeah.
Around here?
If you want to, give me my phone number.
yeah. Just to make sure, you know, just to know what's up.
No, if you want to, give me my phone number.
Okay.
I have no problem.
I want to ask you something.
What's that here?
Do you think, Lorena, what do you think is the probability? Because now it all seems so hopeless and helpless, and there doesn't seem a way out of this. And it all seems like a tragedy upon tragedy. And I know what that is. Like a tragedy is calling another tragedy. And for someone who wants to walk against tragedy, I want to ask you something.
I am sick and tired of being sick and tired of waiting.
Do you think this is it?
There should be more help out there for people in my condition. Not only me, I'm talking about the older people than me. Take care of them first, and then try to help me out. Okay, but take care of them first, please. And then take care of me. Please.
Where are they?
They're out here. Trust me.
I know, because you've been here for 20 years, you know. They're out there? Steve?
Oh yeah, there's people out there.
And they're homeless and they're sleeping on the streets, same as you?
Yes.
And they're older than you?
Yes.
A lot older?
Some of them older. Yeah, some of them older. Oh yeah.
Do you think in this lifetime that you get out of this?
Do I think in this lifetime do I get
out of this? I mean, it's been 20 years.
Well, it's been 20 years. What's that tell you? Does it look like I'm getting out of it? It's been 20 years, dear. I'm not getting out of it.
Oh.
They're not willing to help me. Okay, that's just something I gotta accept. And I'm accepting it. So, they're gonna find me one day out here, frozen and dead. And that's it. Bye-bye, Steve. See ya. That's it. And that's what's going to happen.
There's this topic I captured with Steve tonight that it's quite a revelation for me as well. At the point when it said, when you know we had to compare the contradiction, rather, not a comparison, but a contradiction between I'm alive, I'm glad to wake up in the morning, and I just really want to die without actually, it's more like death without a conscious effort of it. And that comes out of frustration, a lot of it, as I've experienced. But the main aspect of this is that there is this almost lazy wish believe to obtain a sense of not nothingness per se, but to obtain a loss of conscious pain without actually making any effort to do so, which is actually instantly psychological, but it's not, you know. Like, I know a lot that goes into me, like my rhetoric today about, you know, should this the end? Should I just stop? And then you see me go back to it just cannot be, and trying to find a way through GoFundMe and GoFundMe, mainly because I do truly believe in these things that I do. But going back to Steve, this sense of conscious effort to obtain some sort of conscious paralysis, which I don't want to say it's debt, because it's not really debt. I mean, you see the same human being waking up in the morning and being glad to wake up in the morning, also wishing for some kind of debt that is not actively conscious of. In other words, some sort of conscious paralysis that would make this wish belief happen without him having to do anything, cut his finger, take all his meds at once, and things like that. But I just want to tell you that I did have that kind of, you know, I'm hopping the morning and I've survived this, you know, in that light. Not for 20 years, really, but at the same time, it's in the same mood of I survived this. And, you know, it's in the mood of it's so cold out here, I'm going to die right now. I'm just going to stop breathing. This is the end. I know this will happen to me without any conscious effort. I've never had any kind of situation in which I've actually wanted to kill myself. But I've had that situation in which the cold was just so much, I felt I was going to die, and I thought I would just die. And it seemed to me like some kind of wish belief, like if that happened, then the pain would end. But I survived. And there is a high that comes from that. It's more like a low and a high that comes from the high that people get. But it's not like that kind of high. It's just a very subtle form of, you know, this bang that life gave me, this harshness that life gave me. I thought was going to destroy me, but for some reason it doesn't, and I keep going and I keep going. And for him, it's been 20 years, and he keeps going and he keeps going. And it's almost like a low, at the same time, some kind of high. You know, I survived all this. Why? And there's no why, really. And there's no answer for it. But I'll be the last person to ever judge Steve. I met him. I want his words to be eased to you. And as far as I'm concerned, it's really that aspect of life, that person that I met, that person that means something to me. And you can see him talking about how people treat him very badly and they don't think he's there and they don't value him. And I look at him and I almost don't want to miss that moment. That I know that I'm definitely not going to be here with him tomorrow, but at the same time, it's him feeling that sense of comfort that I don't have to really try to achieve because I am in his shoes. And I keep telling you that I'm Basil, and I think it's difficult for people to really, really get it, but it's that Basil sense. That truly, that's why he could talk to me and feel like that's it. And it's not something I put on. It's not a show. It's what came out of this things that I went through. Now, the only difference between us is I don't do any of those things. I don't do drugs. I don't even smoke marijuana or drink or anything. There is nothing to keep me out here. And even when, you know, getting a job in a local store or whatever didn't work, I really, really tried with everything else. So it's not maybe not in the same bone, but it's in the same containment. And that is actually held deeply. It's in the same psychological containment. And I understand him in that way. Much more than anybody just passing him by and saying hi and walking by him. And that's where I want you to see when you actually listen to him. That person. Not just someone you walk by on the street and doesn't mean anything, but that person. I thought about quite some aspect of my conversation with Steve, but I decided maybe not to because the ending of the interview was especially spectacular, so I'm just gonna add a few things to what he said and what he didn't say. And one of the things he said was that in the 20 years he's been homeless, he was beaten to a pulp one day by a group for no reason other than he was homeless. And he lost all his teeth. He doesn't have any teeth. He reminds me of something. I mean, the event reminds me of something that happened to me as well. I mean, I couldn't really say whether it was provoked or not, but it really didn't matter because under normal circumstances, it doesn't happen. I just, you know, you're on your way and you see someone and you start beating them up for no reason. There has to be a level of devaluation of life for that to happen. I do remember being called names, like horrible names and racial slurs and things like that. So I kind of, you know, felt like we had an understanding, and he being a 20-year veteran in that mode, we had quite an understanding. I decided to do this mainly because I felt like, I guess, the opposite of what the people beat him to a pulp and left him for dead did. And this is a life, and for 20 years he's been living this I don't even know what to call it. Maybe a lucid nightmare. And at some point, it did say that his life was a nightmare. But I'd rather call it a lucid nightmare because he feels it. Somebody near nightmarish seems to get you in your dreams. You don't really feel it as much as you would in real life, but it's much worse than a nightmare. So it has to be something lucid that it feels is not really happening, but it's happening. But it's very much lucid, and his sensations are there. And you can see him get emotional once in a while. I did get a lot emotional, but you might not sense it because I wanted the conversation to be about him and not me. But I am really glad that I got him on tape. And he actually allowed me to take a picture of him as well. So I'm going to put a picture of him alongside this podcast. I think the more I'm able to feel, the more I'm able to, I mean, if I say sense, and then it will seem like I'm just, they're both the same thing, but they really are not, because if you read Egan Paul, and I talked about fourth dimensionality, that is not actually part of the knowledge in physics at the moment. It raises the sixth sense to a different level. So I'm not, when I say sense, I really don't mean feelings. I mean something higher. And definitely we'll talk about that in more books to come. But for now, I'm glad I met Steve Morin, and you're going to meet him. Thank you for chilling with me. This is another episode of ALW.